I want to talk about wrong. W-R-O-N-G. Wrong. Wrong is an odd word, right? The W is silent, but the impact of the word wrong usually isn't. We go through life trying to be right, which is considered to be the opposite of wrong. For most normal people, being wrong doesn't feel good. When I think about energy processes, being wrong, perceiving that you are wrong, doing something wrong, or being told you are wrong, all lead to a loss of energy. The loss from wrong can feel like a weakening of willpower, a diminished status. You become less than or not enough. There's an increase in fear leading to hesitancy and or a retreat into some sort of a self-protective shell to avoid more pain from loss of energy due to being wrong. Wrong can also be valuable to our learning. I've noticed that I learn better and more thoroughly when I both know how to do something right and know how to do that same thing wrong. It's as if I grasp how wide the path is now that I found that learning the right way and the wrong way is. It's as if now I have discovered the edges of the path. So being right generally means staying between those edges. You already know this idea of staying within the lines. Children who could color the pictures with their crayons and stay within the lines were praised as right. Driving your car on interstate highways and staying in your own lane, except to pass another vehicle, is not only right, but is safer too. Not everyone sees wrong and right the same way. Our egos, if our egos are in control, will drive us to do certain things, and the issue of right and wrong, they're not strong influences on our behaviors. We're going to do what the ego tells us to do. Right and wrong be damned. Not everybody has the same moral compass or a moral compass that is fine-tuned to notice discrepancies. Lying and cheating in modern day, and maybe in ancient times as well, can be seen as normal business practices and not as examples of doing wrong. If you grew up in a moralistic home or school or religious environment, it's likely that you had a lot of reinforcement about wrong and right. The tendency to judge events, ideas, people as bad or good comes out of that training. With the mindset that wrong and bad are really, really wrong and bad, we add enormous stress to our lives. And the result of being judgmental is being judged by ourselves and by others. Making our journey in life is challenging enough without converting a normal wide path into a tightrope. If we've already made our paths into a tightrope and we measure every single action as if it could be wrong and bad, and being so would plunge us into a terrible emotional pain due to censure from ourselves or, we fear, from other people. I was involved in a political discussion turned argument, that's maybe a redundant sort of a statement, on Tuesday night recently. We had been watching and listening to a live band at a local bar restaurant. Of the four people, three had similar views, and when alcohol is a factor, emotions rise, but awareness does not. The argument ruined an otherwise pleasant evening when one person stomped off to bed. He felt he was being made wrong for having his own opinions. I felt he was wrong for asserting propaganda that as fact and for not considering other possibilities. Alcohol plus political beliefs is not a good combination. I think the differences between wrong and right are actually differences in awareness and who takes on the authority role. By authority role, I mean the person who assumes the power to judge the situation and declare who is right and who is wrong. In all participants, their awareness is the key issue. That's a key factor. Unaware people are a problem, and guess what? we are all unaware to a large extent. Unaware people in authority roles are a bigger problem. The unwillingness to receive information that can be turned into knowledge leads to, quotes, not growth. If growth is normal and desirable and good on a spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical level, refusing processes to lead to growth is wrong. One of the main problems with growing up in a wrong-making environment is the fixed mindset about being right. I had a friend who had been made wrong by his first grade teacher when she asked the pupils for the spelling of their mother's first names. His mother had an unusual spelling to her name, which he knew, and when he said it, the teacher insisted that he was wrong and that the usual spelling of that name was correct. He was humiliated in front of his classmates. He tried to convince the teacher that he was right, and he was, and she was wrong, but she was resistant. She overpowered him. Years later, maybe about 45 years later, is when I met him, and I was amazed at his knowledge of things and his need to know stuff. I saw that need in him as a reaction to his humiliation, and it was designed because he wanted to prevent that being made wrong from ever happening again. He was trying to avoid being made wrong. In the early 1990s, I was at a business meeting in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It turned into a questionable business opportunity sales pitch. One of the 80 attendees was a man about 6'4", muscular as a champion bodybuilder, and he had a black belt in two different martial art techniques. During the meeting on the stage, accepting approval for signing up, he got a chance to talk about his background and how important this opportunity was for him. He said it was his final chance to make something of his life. He then went on to describe that he had been sexually molested as a young boy by other young boys. I then realized that all the muscles, all the martial arts skills, were an attempt to prevent being made wrong by others that took advantage of him. A few years ago in Florida, I had a client for one single session who fit the same pattern. I didn't deal with the possible sexual abuse in that first session, and he never came back. I let myself be distracted by the numerous present-day stresses and challenges that he was facing in his business and home instead of recognizing all the muscles, all the martial arts, and all the fighting that he was doing for what they were. Attempts to prevent being made wrong again by others. The energy of wrong can appear to be like an insurmountable wall. It can seem like a detour. It can take on the role of a brake pedal in a vehicle that can stop it cold and abruptly, stop it gently and gradually, or even just slow us down so that we can change direction. The ability to adjust to movement and actions is an important skill. We learned to do that when we first began walking and running and riding a bike. We do that when we learn anything. People who can't adjust when they receive new environmental signals have difficulty learning. In political discussions, which inevitably turn into arguments if there are two or more opinions, there is virtually no ability or willingness to adjust. People with strong political beliefs hold on to them and defend them strongly, even savagely. The key to learning anything is this process. 1. Interact or engage with whatever you want to learn. Touch it, read about it, study it, feel it, look at it. After a while, 2. Back away and disengage. Give yourself some time and space to make sense out of that interaction. What happened? Make some sort of idea, get some idea about what your experience was. 3. Make a rule about learning this item. What rule can you make from your engagement and when you disengage? What do you know about it? And then 4, re-engage using this interaction to validate the rule that you just made and to prove it, and then gain experiences with the item that you're trying to have a relationship with or trying to learn. 5, repeat step 2, 3, 4, and 5 until you get to the point where A, you know enough to be effective, B, you know enough to have fun in this particular area, C, you become compassionate about the object of your attention, and or D, you have satisfied your desire to know the topic. Not everybody has to get a PhD in every single thing that they want to engage with or learn about. You may just want a smidgen of knowledge about this or that or the other thing. But if you want to dive deeply into it, you're going to continue that process that I just described. In old-time sales training, this standard teaching point was often reiterated. Don't accept no's until you have heard 7 no's from your prospect. I'm not going to debate whether this is a good rule to use when selling to other people. I will say, though, it would be a good rule to use with yourself. When you have a duty or an opportunity or a chore or a responsibility or a goal, and you put on your brakes because you fear a repeat of being made wrong, don't just accept your own mind telling you no or don't or can't. Move on. Continue. Wrong or right, bad or good, are simple binary ways to categorize, but they don't have room for nuances. I suggest to those people who've been trained to judge in these fashions to change the scale of measurement from either of 2 choices to a spectrum that offers greater specificity in the choices available, as well as a form of measurement that is not so painful, not so harsh, and not so potentially destructive. I call this system the scale of effectiveness, and I represent this scale as a horizontal line ranging from the left edge as 0% and the right edge to 100% and the midpoint marked as 50%. I believe you and I will never be 0% effective or 100% effective. I estimate that you and I will range from about 35% up to about 75% effectiveness on this scale. There is far less pain using effectiveness to characterize our actions and to measure our progress, either forward or backward. Before we habituate this new view, using a scale of effectiveness of our actions, we would have judged ourselves and others as either wrong or right, bad or good. Now the goal in the game of life is to become more effective in the next action than we were in the previous action. This change, it allows for growth in abilities and skill levels and understanding. It also supports a growth mindset as compared to the less effective fixed mindset. When we transmit signals, we not only are sending them outward, we are sending them inward too. This is what I mean. When we make another person wrong by thinking, talking, feeling, writing, making facial expressions, raising an eyebrow, for instance, etc., about that person, it's as if we are transmitting directly into our own subconscious mind. Imagine your subconscious mind accepting everything you think, feel, say, and do as commands it should obey. It appears that because you put your attention on it, you want to experience it. And if that's the rule that the subconscious mind is using, we need to be aware of that. The overall emphasis in our culture is obedience. Obey the rules, obey the law, obey your parents, obey your teachers, obey the police, obey God, obey the religious leaders who have made themselves the middlemen between you and God. Someone made a rule some time ago, and you should obey it. If you ask for details such as who, what, when, how, and why, you oftentimes will be criticized for not obeying and being too rebellious. In an obedience-dominated culture, thinking for yourself and asking questions are considered wrong. Asking questions, of course, is how we reach for and stay open to receiving awareness. Receiving awareness is not wrong. I use the framework of the 12 worlds to better understand human behavior. You could examine any of the 12 worlds to discover for yourself where the energy of wrong has penetrated you and may still be negatively affecting you today. Human activity can be characterized into one or more of these worlds: spiritual world, mental world, emotional world, physical world, family world, career world, financial world, social world, leisure world, community world, political world, and maintenance world. All of your experiences in your life will fit into one or more of these areas. If the energy of wrong was associated with an action that you took related to a world, it is likely that the pain of that experience still exists in your field. As children, we would have done normal things for children, but for which we were made wrong. Today, as we seek to act in that area, we may find ourselves with a lot of internal resistance to engaging openly or fully. I just can't make myself go forward in this area. I want to take action, but for some reason, I'm not able to. Children are susceptible to judgment and being made wrong about their looks, their clothing, their cleanliness, their intelligence, their abilities in music or sports or anything else, their ability to learn. How about their families, their religion, their race, age, skin color, their gender, their eyes and hair, their physical size, the way they talk, the way they move, their poverty, their home and where they live, their sensitivity, not fitting in with others, and that list could go on and on. If you choose one world, say mental world or physical world or financial world, choose anyone as an example, and scan your past experiences in which you or others attached the energy of wrong, you will locate the images plus emotions that influence your day-to-day activities now. I grew up in a small village where the weekly newspaper had this motto: "The truth shall set you free." I think there's a better way to say that. Awareness will set you free. Being aware of how we were programmed by the thinking of others and by our own thoughts gives us the opportunity to upgrade or increase our own awareness. The trouble with the statement about truth is that people believe they already know the truth, so they no longer seek or question. I know the truth. I learned it when I was 5. Truth, to many people, is one fixed point of view, while awareness is a moving point on a spectrum that offers greater and greater opportunities to heal the wrongs we have suffered and to right them. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version from letter 8 in the book Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Listen to how right this can make us. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.